We'll turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 today. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 14, and we're on our series, All I Have is Christ, and we're on this serious point today as we look at what holds our life together, what holds our Christianity together, what keeps us intact as believers living in a pagan society in a world, what holds everything together, and that is truth. And as we have studied last week, the title of the messages are Stand Firm, and this is part one. And we got into a little bit about what it means to stand firm last week, which is to make firm and to establish. And there's about six things that I want to kind of go over again to remind us of what we're standing firm in, or how, what does it mean to stand firm? And then we're going to look at how are we going to do it. And the first thing that I want to bring up here is that to stand firm means to remain in submission and obedience to God, to the gospel. We just worship the gospel. We just partook of the gospel in a very physical, tangible way that God has given us as a picture of the gospel through communion today. And what it means to be remain in submission, I don't know about you, but I wake up and I make a commitment to God, and then as the day goes on, circumstances come, and by the time it's sometimes later in the day or even later in the week, where I was on my knees before the Lord, I've got up on one knee, and then I got the other one up, and pretty soon I'm walking, and I didn't realize how far I got from submitting to God, and then I wonder why the devil has unleashed his attack in my life and is doing damage in my life. It means to remain in submission. When he says to stand firm, he means all that's in chapters 1 through 5, stick to it. Live it out. And that means we have to have a healthy surrender to God. It means that we have to wave the white flag and not do what we want to do or what we feel like doing, but what God has called us to do and walk out our salvation. Number two, it means continuing to focus and live out the spiritual blessings that you have received and the salvation that comes through Jesus. We've talked plenty about that in former weeks. Number three, it means to actively believe and carry out the authority you have in Christ Jesus by being seated in the heavenly realms in Him. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're saved today. You are spiritually seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, which means you share, the authority doesn't come from you, but you share in the authority of Christ. And what authority does Jesus have? He has authority all over all the demons, all over satanic powers, the rulers of this world, as we already went through. You are positioned, and so to stand firm is not just to stand firm physically or in this earthly realm, but it is to make sure that we are camping out in our position that God has called us out into. God has called us to be sons and daughters, not losers. So if you're telling yourself you're a loser, you're not living in the authority that God has called you to live in. And the devil will unleash all kinds of attacks towards you. If you're in a place where you're starting to say, you know, I just can't do this thing anymore. I'm not strong enough. You're not living in that heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. If you're in a place where you're afraid of the circumstances that are surrounding, you're afraid of what the devil is doing and unleashing in your life and in your family and in your church and all around you in society, remember the place of authority. You are seated above all that. You know, God has given us authority over the devil. You know, in Mark, when he sends the disciples out, he says, you know, I have authority to go tread on serpents, you know, literally physical snakes, you know. And Paul exemplified that in Acts, or was it Paul. And he took a snake in his hand, and it didn't hurt him. He drank deadly poison, some of them, and it didn't hurt them. We see read of martyrs or people of great saints throughout history. So those things have come to pass. We have a place of authority, but we have to transport there. In other words, we have to remain fixed there. And I don't know about you, but I get distracted very easily. It's like there's all kinds of, the devil puts all kinds of commercials out there. And through TV, through internet, through all kinds of things. And so we're bombarded with all these things. And so it gets us focused on the physical realm. You know, we're looking up and we're sitting up in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you know, those demons, those devils will come along and they'll say, well, have you checked this out over here? That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Did God really say, all the way back in Genesis? And he points things out, and pretty soon we're looking. We've got up off of our seat next to Jesus in the heavenly realms. We've stepped down a few notches. We look back, we look forward, take a few. Pretty soon we're down at the bottom again. So standing firm is remaining in that authority that you have in Jesus Christ. Now, I just pray that God will build up my confidence and your confidence as a follower of Jesus Christ. You have authority. You are in a position of authority in Christ. Now, the moment you forget it's in Christ and you start to think it's in you, that's when you topple off of that place of safety. And so, remember your authority and your power. Number four, it means to be aware of the unseen realm and remain immovable in your spiritual position in Christ. We talked about that in the previous few weeks of being aware that this is not the only realm. This is not the realm where the battle's fought in. There is a spiritual realm that we can only see with our spiritual eyes where war is taking place. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. It means to be on guard at all times, knowing that you are in a battle and the enemy is going to attack at any moment. Now, this is what happens. God has thoroughly blessed our church congregation with unity and a lot of good things. And we've endured some sadness of people moving out of state for jobs and things like that. But it hasn't been bad things. And we can thank God for that. But the temptation there with that is to say, wow, you know, everything's going well. We have all of our leaders in place. And boy, I can just sit back and just kind of relax. I don't have to go to prayer every Sunday. I don't have to, you know, things are going pretty well right now. Things start to go bad. The prayers start to fill up, right? But he says, stand firm. He says, always be under. Don't let your guard down, because it's at that very moment where the devil is even going to try to stir up disunity in the congregation. The moment we let our guard down with what God has called us to do here, although we may be small in numbers, God has called us to do great and mighty things in our neighbors' lives and people's lives through the power of Jesus. But the moment we let our guard down, the devil says, ha ha, I got them thinking it's prosperity and things are going well now. They've stopped praying. They've stopped reading the Word because they thought that they got all that they needed. They stopped going to Bible study. They stopped going to prayer meeting. And so I got them where they're at right now. Don't let your guard down for even a minute. And we got to help each other with that. Six. It means not to waver in what you believe and practice. Now, remember, we're seated in the heavenly realms, and then the devil has all these commercials. And if you're like me, too, some of those things seem, oh, you know, that might be kind of true. So then I start to doubt the goodness of God. I start to doubt what the Bible says, and I start to doubt what I believe, and I kind of dabble, and I get one foot in things that are a little bit mixed up, and then the devil's got me. So it means to not waver. Okay, you say, well, I want to do this thing. I want to stand firm. How do I do it? He says to stand firm, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. How do we keep standing firm when we're attacked by evil? First of all, realize that truth holds everything together. Now, he says to fasten the belt of truth. Now, whether you're really skinny, you need a belt to hold your britches up. If you got a little bit of a roundness, you also need a belt to hold your britches up because it'll pop your pants right off. When he's talking about the belt of truth, when they would go to battle, the Roman soldiers, they would have in the King James it says, have your loins girt about with truth. In other words, their sword would not have something strong to hold in place. So you have a sword, and we're going to get into that later, but it's going to fall off unless you have truth in place. You're going to go out to battle and you're going to run and trip over your garments because they're going to start coming unloosened. He's given us the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, but they all hold together on this one thing, and it is truth. Now, we are living in a society that is so backwards where we call evil good and good evil, and people are saying now more than ever, especially in our country, there is no absolute truth. And we can see things are beginning to become chaos. One of the things that I noticed and recognized is these are just the social ills of society, is that it used to be ball games and things like that in other countries around the world where they would have riots. We're having political things and people are starting to riot and to fight and to tear at each other is because we've left truth. Truth is what holds us together in the battle. So I want to take a moment to look at what is truth. And this might get a little tedious here, but I think it's important for us to take a look at these things. First of all, truth is what is true in any matter under consideration. In other words, there is absolute truth. Now, when we look at things from a logical standpoint, something cannot be both right and wrong at the same time, can it? This candle right here cannot be... your little boy wanted to do that. It's not lit and unlit at the same time. Is this candle lit? Well, for you, maybe it's not. For me, maybe it is. But the fact of it is, we can see it even with our mirror. 2 + 2 = 4, and it's not going to change. 1 + 1, that's two objects, that means two. Math doesn't change. And so the way the order of the whole universe is put together in such a way that there is absolute truth. Now we can look at science, and I'm not talking about the way science is defined today. People define science as whatever crackpot theory someone can come up with, then that's science. Back in the day, science was something that was proven to be true through fact and deduction and experiment and tangible evidence. That's science. Science is not a theory. It is something that we know. We know that when I use hand gestures while I'm praying for communion, that it's going to spill all over my leg because of gravity. That's a law that's in place and it's not going to change. Science and creation clearly demonstrate that there is logic and order in the universe. There are laws that are in place, like the law of gravity. To determine what is true, we must go to the source of all order and logic. So when you think of there's order, there's logic, you have to say, where does that come from, and trace that back. Where or whom does the laws of science come from? Now, here's the thing. All people determine truth by either the true God who created the universe or a God of their own making, usually themselves. So everybody determines truth based on one or those two sources. It's either God or themselves or some other foreign gods. It's a making of their own self. So everyone does that. So here is where logic comes in. The source of truth is right, logically, consistently, scientifically, proven by facts, not theories. historically, philosophically, socially, relationally, morally, and theologically. Man, that covers it all, and we don't have the time to get into all that. So when we get to the point of determining where is the source of truth, now we have to look at all those areas of life. And I'm talking from a secular mindset. Of course, from a believer's mindset, we go to have faith that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But we don't blindly believe that, as we're going to see in a moment. We don't just take a leap and say, well, it just feels right, so I'm just going to believe this. No, it is a logical, tangible thing supported through history and philosophy and moral and theologically and the order and the design of the universe. Now, I just want to stop for a moment. Most people today live in practice that there's no absolute truth, explaining what is right for me may not be right for you. There is no absolute truth. So here's what you can use, folks. Does that logically make sense for me to say in a statement of philosophy that there is no absolute truth? Why doesn't it make sense? I made a statement of absolute truth, that there is no absolute truth. So logic can't be on and off at the same time. It has to be one way or the other. So when it comes to truth, there has to be absolute truth. And there's no way anyone around, even by statement, can say such a thing because it's not logically coherent. It is... What'd you say? Did you come out of the loony farm? There's no candle sitting here. It's like saying something like that. You're not really alive, you're dead. So absolute truth, there is absolute truth. So the good question to ask is, are you absolutely sure there is no absolute truth? And that will make someone think. Or it might go right over their heads and you need to keep praying for them. But see, the true God has revealed himself through the Bible in a book written. This was written over 1,500 years, yet it is coherent. There's no contradictions, although people try to make contradictions out of it because they don't study the proper historical context of it. But if you study the historical context, just imagine that. How many authors wrote the Bible? There's many, and there's some that we may not even know, and some of the theologians guess on, that God used to record the Bible over a period of 1,500 years. Yet, every archaeological dig has proven the Bible to be true. Everything that people have tried to dig and come up with, the Word of God has stayed the test of time by archaeology and science. Science, if you define science as something that can be logically experimented and proven and tangible and not a theory, science has not contradicted the Bible. Now, evolution contradicts the Bible, but that's a theory. When you start to dig in evidence and things like that, and that's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother day. But there is no tangible truth. There's no bones of intermediate periods other than taking a pig bone and a deer bone and putting it together in a museum and an ape bone to make it look like it. And that's been proven to be a deception many times over. On top of that, every human has to face the facts about Jesus of Nazareth, a man who appeared in history, who died, but yet he was seen alive by 500 people. Now, if I were to go to court and I had to prove something to be true, it would only take two or three witnesses to do that in a court of law, to stand up. That's been the case ever since time has begun, not just in our culture, but previous cultures as well. 500 witnesses, surely. And we have a writing by Josephus, who was not even a Christian, He was a Jewish scholar who had recorded the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now we have this to contend with. Now we have to directly contend with God in the flesh. And so when we're searching for truth, it leads to this. And even more astounding is that the vast majority of these witnesses died a martyr's death, believing in the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't have anything else to live for, obviously. They did. They could have stayed a good Jew and denied that Jesus is the Messiah and stayed rich and in the favor with the religious leaders. But they chose not to because they knew it was true. They saw it with their own eyes. And there is not another God or another truth or another religion that has a God that has risen from the dead and conquered death. And so the truth always leads us to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the appearance of God made flesh. And then it goes back to the Word of God, which prophesied about this God who was to come. And He fulfilled all prophecies exact to the T. You can take any other religious book and the prophecies don't quite line up. You get older versions of the Book of Mormon, and they had things in there that they all of a sudden had to change because they realized there wasn't life on the moon when they landed on the moon. So they had to strike that out of the... We've never had to strike anything out of the biblical text because it's true. So now you get an idea of how people arrive to truth, how logically we come to the conclusion of truth. The true God reveals Himself. So truth is what is true in things pertaining to God. And so this leads us to the point of what we believe, what morals we have. Now we have to come face to face with this concept of a God. That right and wrong must come from somewhere. Now, hopefully that was helpful, and maybe if you have questions, feel free to call the church office and all that. But I think it's important for us to use our brains as Christians. We can't just say, well, you just blindly accepted it. No, it's founded on truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The gospel in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, if you have heard the word of truth. Truth is not just something that we jump out and hope that it exists. It's very real. So, now that we understand truth, hopefully, do you understand truth? How many understand truth less now? Hopefully not. Truth has to be fastened like a belt to us. Well, that word fasten means to hold together all your garments. In other words, equip yourself with the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to ask you this question today. What do you spend the majority of your time filling your mind with? There are times when I wander on news articles and things on the internet, and sometimes that inevitably leads to conspiracy theories, right? And all those kinds of things. And we ask a question. We've all asked the internet questions, right? What is a spotted yellow bird? Or what is, you know, we ask all these questions. And some of those things are true, but how do we know? Because there's a lot of people that go online and fill the answers to those things, and just some people are being smart Alex. And also there's the devil trying to throw things in there to trip people up. How do we know that what's broadcast on the news media is that's really what's true? So what is the only thing that we have that we can bank on if this is the God who created the universe, if He is the one that has revealed Himself through the Bible? This is all that we have that we can bank on, and we can know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is true, and this is how I should live my life on. So if we're feeding our mind with magazines, movies, and junk, we're not going to be equipped with the knowledge of the truth. But we find truth in God. We find truth in the God who's revealed Himself through the Bible. Now, it's interesting, the place of the belt is on your loins. And I'm not going into further discussion of what your loins are. hopefully you all know. But it is the place where the Hebrews thought the generative power resided. In other words, their offspring. It's the derivation or driving of one's origin or descent from one. So in other words, it's in the place that's central. It's in the place where you bear your offspring physically. But when we think about in the spiritual realm, it is all of our spiritual life hinges on the truth of our salvation. Your life in God. Remember it says in chapter 1, you're adopted, right? Into God's family. It holds that together. We must equip ourselves with the right truth. In other words, staying in the Word and feeding ourselves with the right kind of things. Truth holds our spiritual britches up. Now, when we think about this term in visualization, it's a pretty powerful term. What happened to Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God? They said, oh no, we're exposed, we're naked. When you are not clothed, have your belt on, your britches are going to fall down. You're going to be caught, in other words, with your pants down. What do you think the devil's going to do with that? He's going to take advantage of you in any way that he can possibly do so and put you down. You're ripe for the devil and his demons to take an advantage in every possible way. You're exposed. So, truth holds the spiritual armor together. If you can think of that in a positive way and look at, say, wait a minute, I don't want to be open to the devil's attack. I don't want to be in that place where I'm going to fall apart and my whole life is going to go to hell in a handbasket. Well, there I did. I used the country saying. And britches. Tammy helps Keith pick out his britches every day, I'm sure, for work so they match. Oh, she's kind of saying, no, let's not go there. All right, we won't. Truth holds your pants up and your sword in place. It enables you to run and fight in the battle without a hindrance. If you don't have a belt on, you can't run very well. Now, I can think of funny times at home where I've walked through the house and I've forgotten to tie the little things on my sports shorts, and I'm running either usually to the restroom or somewhere like that. By the time I get there, I'm tripping on my pants. We've all done that. I know you're all looking and say, we've all done that. And our wives have laughed, tee hee tee hee, you know. You can't go to battle without your belt. You can't encounter the devil. You can't fight off and stand firm without the belt of truth holding yourself together with the spiritual truth. And see, we must know truth to wear truth. And I want to invite you as we close with this passage today is in John chapter 8. If you'd turn there, please. John chapter 8. Because this puts it beautifully in this dialogue that Jesus has about truth with religious leaders. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You want freedom? It comes by way of truth. You want slavery? It comes by way of substitutions for truth in the media and internet and in the world and on TV from the devil. It says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then these guys go on with some discussion, but I want to highlight this whole passage since we're not going to take time to read it, but I want to encourage you to go home and read it. But only those that keep God's word of truth are Jesus' disciples, it says. That's the first point from that text. And only truth can set us free from being slaves to sin. Now, we're dealing with drug addictions in our war ministry and things like that. And there's all kinds of beliefs being fed. One of the things that we found that we contend with is that there are even teachings in hospitals and things like that that say once you're a drug addict, there's no hope. You're going to be that way the rest of your life. And that's really sad because in the recent cases, we've had some people that really believe that. Now, we know that's not true because Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The only truth makes a son or a daughter of the Most High God rather than a slave to sin. And only Jesus sets people free with the truth that He testifies about. And He's telling these folks that. In fact, in John 17:17, He says, sanctify them with the truth. In Ephesians 4:21, it's the gospel of truth. Only those that practice truth have God as their Father. I want to repeat that again. Jesus says clearly, only those that practice truth have God as their Father. And then on the flip side of that, those that deny Jesus' truth has the devil as their father. So you have one of two fathers. If you believe there's no absolute truth, your father is the devil. If you believe in truth that's in Jesus, you have God as your father. And then he goes on to say and tells us how the devil operates in murder and lies. And I want to read this last verse 44. It says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth. See, there's the opposite of stand firm with the belt of truth. He does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, and he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? And this is Jesus speaking. If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. If you're a believer today, I have news. The devil wants you dead and destroyed. And even as an unbeliever, he wants you to die and go to hell without the chance of receiving Jesus. And he does it with lies. This is why he says the belt of truth is the linchpin that holds everything together. Because the devil's character is that he is a liar. He doesn't just lie, it is his character, it's who he is. And the only way to be free and to stand firm against this devil is to put on the belt of truth and purely truth with God as the sole source. If I were to give you a 20-ounce steak, and I would say somewhere, yeah, John's saying, yeah, somewhere in that steak is a little piece of chicken doo-doo. Just a little tiny piece. Would you eat it? Some smart aleck in here might say, I'll eat it. But you think, wow, this is gross. This is ridiculous. But this is what people do every day with truth. They say, well, 10 things are true, but only 2 things are false. So I'm just going to go along with it. It's not truth unless it's 100% pure truth. If it's just mixed with only 1% lies, it's not truth. And that's exactly what the devil's aim is in our life, is to say, you know what, you believe all these things about God and lies, that's great. But if I can just get Mike and if I can just get you to believe one little lie, then the whole thing starts to fall. Your belt comes off and your armor comes off and you are exposed and open for the destruction of this liar. So let's keep our spiritual armor on by learning and applying truth constantly. And that's what we have to do. If we're going to do this, we're going to have to practice truth all the time. Become people of truth. If you're raising children, don't ever allow them to even one time tell a little bit of a lie or go on believing a lie, because that cultivates this evil spirit that the devil wants us to raise up in our children. Well, if I just tell them the truth, it might hurt them, so I'm just going to bend it a little bit. We've all been guilty of that, but what that does is set the moral stage for what our country is today. Beware of the deceit of the devil and his demons. They're constantly either trying to help you forget the truth of your spiritual blessings. Usually does that by distractions. Or by introducing other truths, which are really lies, or twist the truth by distorting our spiritual blessings through the introduction of a few small lies. You lose your belt, you lose everything. You lose your belt, you lose all spiritual covering. And I don't know why. There's many times in my life that I get confused, I get overwhelmed, I get discouraged, I don't know which way is up. Have you ever felt crazy before? You feel crazy now? This is the only thing that I know that can straighten my pea brain out. If I would just sit and read it, why don't I sit and read it? Why don't I go to that first? Why do I go to all these other things that the devil has around me? Truth, and truth alone, is what's going to hold us together. So make your stand on the Word of God. Look at this. This is honey to eat. This is good. Eat on. You know, some, have you ever just felt like you just want to eat your Bible physically, but really it's because you're spiritually hungry? This is the truth. The truth will set you free. No matter what you're battling with, what you're dealing with your life, truth will set you free. Now, is there any questions or anything to add to this today? Yes, ma'am.
Doesn't really have too terribly much to do with what we've
actually okay. Yeah.
So much more touching when you're actually out there. But I didn't realize, because I didn't grow up in a church, but I didn't realize how much the Bible and God can change you. And just, it's so calming. Like, it makes everything else seem pretty much irrelevant. And every person, pretty much, that we came across that, you know,
that had everything to do with the message. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Pastor, I cannot have to think of what you said. I simply want to say that of the 24 verses in the 6th chapter, 13 of those verses are commandment verses. Not something you want to do or maybe do it tomorrow, but God commands.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's one promise verse in there. But that 13 commands makes it set this chapter aside.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Don't ever think you have something, not something to add. I love it. I love it when you bring that up. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Be all over the map. Yeah. Anyone else? Well, I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, let's help each other obey this text so that we can be strong and offer hope to the people that don't have hope. We can bring truth to people that don't have truth by living it and practicing it with the power of Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you so much for this wonderful body of believers. I thank you for the work you're doing in my life and in the life of all our brothers and sisters. How you've been so patient with us. You're helping each of us to grow. You're helping each of us to overcome our idiosyncrasies and our problems and things that have held us back for a long time. And I pray, Lord, that you would infuse within us your confidence, your boldness to declare your truth, to live your truth, to be an honest person as you are honest. Be holy as you are holy. And God, I pray that you'd enable us as a church community to build such the kind of relationships with one another that we support truth in each other's lives, that we encourage each other to obey the words of this text. God, I pray that you bless each person today, encourage them and fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we exalt you and we give you all the glory and the credit for what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do in our lives. And we give you all the praise. We exalt you. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.